As you saw in the bulletin, the title of my message is The Madness of the Human Mind. That mind looks like it might be a little troubled in that picture, right? But hey, before I get going, I do want to say if you're a guest with us today, we're really, really happy you're here. Thanks for coming. And our regular folks, it's great to see you too. I like to look around and take everybody in. You know, as of this year, I've been walking in a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ for 60 years. Yeah. Boy, that time's flown by. And you know what? It all began with a bedside prayer to receive Christ as my Savior when I was 5 years old. And you know, even at that age, the gospel is a simple enough message that you can get your head around it, but even more, as I'm going to point out in a moment, your heart. But ever since that time, over the past six decades, I have been both humbled and honored to share with others that I believe in Jesus. From the time I was just a little guy, just like that, I believe in Jesus. And so, everyone, if you'll allow me, based on Scripture and my own personal experience, let me share with you what it really means to believe in Jesus. And let me begin by saying that it's not just about having knowledge in your head. That's part of it. But it's also about truly opening your heart to Jesus and finding rest in Him. I'm saying it's like your very soul is reaching out to Him and you are surrendering yourself completely to Him. Now, church, as you and I seek to explore that idea this morning, I want to refer often in my message to this man on the screen. The late Romanian pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who founded the Voice of the Martyrs Ministries. Voice of the Martyrs, in fact, recently offered a multi-church live stream event in which our women's ministry participated in and donated to. Thank you for doing that. But I've personally read Pastor Wurmbrand's 1967 best-selling autobiography, Tortured for Christ. You see that reflected in the picture there. It's a book that I would highly recommend to you. It was a real life-changing book for me. And let me tell you a little bit why. In his book, Pastor Wurmbrand shares his own story of conversion to Christ. Richard started out as a Romanian Jew who was born an atheist and a Marxist. But then something incredible happened. An old carpenter living in the mountains of Romania prayed to God, asking him to bring a Jew into his village so that he could share the message of Christ as Messiah with them. Now think of this, despite being poor, old, and sick, he had this strong, driving desire to fulfill this mission before he died. And folks, what happened next really is amazing. Richard Wurmbrand felt this irresistible pull toward that particular village out of the 12,000 possible villages in Romania. Come on. And when he arrived, he ended up meeting the old carpenter who gave him a Bible. But this wasn't just any Bible. No, it was a Bible that was filled with the love and prayers of the old carpenter. It was like the words on the pages were written in flames of love. Yeah, dear ones, reading this Bible was a transformative experience for Richard. He couldn't just read it like any other book. Instead, he found himself weeping as he read it, as he compared his own sinful life to the life of Jesus. He saw his iniquity in contrast to Jesus' righteousness, and his hatred in contrast to Jesus' love, and how, despite all his flaws, Jesus accepted him as one of his own. It's a powerful story. But, you know, friends, that's the power of belief in Jesus. It's not just about intellectual understanding, but about a deep connection with him that transforms your life. And Pastor Wormbrand's story, the story of his conversion, is a powerful testament to that. So now let me tell you another story, the biblical story of Moses. I'm calling on the God of Moses. We just sang that a moment ago. Let me tell you the story of Moses. Many of you know a rough outline of the details, but let me refresh you. Moses was born in Egypt during a time when the law required that all male Jewish babies be killed. But his mother managed to hide him for a while. And eventually she had to come up with a plan because his cries were getting too loud. And so she made a little basket, like the picture shows there, placed Moses inside and let him float down the Nile River. You know, by the grace of God, none other than Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and decided to raise him as her own. However, and here's another amazing coincidence, Moses' real mother was called to nurse him. So she made sure to teach Moses about his Jewish heritage from a young age. All right, now let's fast forward to when Moses was 40 years old. He witnessed an Egyptian beating a fellow Jew, and in a fit of defensive rage, he ended up killing the Egyptian and burying him in the sand. Well, unfortunately, someone saw what happened, and they were planning to report the murder. Fearing the consequences, Moses fled from Egypt, as this picture shows, and he ended up in the desert of the Sinai Peninsula. And there he became a shepherd. And he lived this way for 40 years until he reached the age of 80. And at 80 years old, it was only then, when Moses led his flock to the backside of the desert and he arrived at what was called the mountain of God, known as Horeb, it was only then that he had a life-changing encounter with God. Boy, that's a long time to wait. But church, this was the moment when Moses finally, truly encountered God. And it was at this point that his heart was set on fire with faith. You know, before this, he had known about God in his mind, but now he truly knew God in his heart. And this is where the biblical quote comes in and makes sense from Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And I invite you to read it with me. We believe in Jesus deep in our hearts, and so we are made right with God. Yeah. Are you hearing this with me? Friends, this means that true belief and righteousness comes from the depths of our hearts, not just from our minds. And Moses' journey is a perfect example of this transformation. Oh yes, I totally get it that Moses had some level of faith when he left Egypt. I mean, he had this incredible ability to endure all those years, even though he couldn't physically see God. It's like he had this unwavering belief in his mother's God. How many of us would say that's our story too? We've got this almost genetic transfer somehow of a faith in here, up here, in our mother's God. our parents' God, or many times our grandparents' God. We're carrying it around in here. But you know, that's what Moses had too. And to me, it feels like that was just the beginning of his faith journey. Because you see, it wasn't until later on in Exodus, in the third chapter, that we actually see God speaking to Moses directly. And here's a picture of the moment. It's described in Scripture as this really intense experience where God calls out to Moses from a burning bush and tells him to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. And then God goes on to introduce himself as the God of Moses' ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's such a powerful encounter that Moses is actually afraid to look at God and he hides his face. Now, you're probably familiar with this story, I mean, either from reading it in the Bible or a children's Bible story, or you know, just watching the Ten Commandments on TV, the movie. But folks, I find this event fascinating because this encounter with God in the burning bush is actually, I submit to you, Moses' first interaction with the pre-incarnate Christ. And what that means is that Jesus existed as the Son of God from all eternity before he ever became incarnated, or in other words, took on a human form 2,000 years ago. And theologians call these appearances of Christ before he became a human and lived among us and performed his saving work, they call these theophanies. And so Moses has this interaction with the pre-incarnate Christ, this theophany with Christ. It's like this moment where his faith in God becomes even more real than his mother's faith, more real than the faith that he had somehow semi-cultivated for 40 years after he left Egypt, wandering around out in the desert with the sheep. But this is not just about believing in his mother's God anymore. No, this is about having a deep, genuine faith in God himself. And remember what Scripture says. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It's like this mind-blowing, heart-gripping, supernatural encounter with God at the burning bush really completed Moses' faith, and it brought him into the righteousness that would come through Christ, the kind that makes us right with God. Wow, what do you think about that? I'm submitting that to you. You know, there's one thing that Pastor Wormbrand said that really stuck with me. Here's what he said. I wanted you to see it as I read it. Out of his experience, he said, the human mind has gone mad. And you attain reality only when you pass beyond reason. Wow, that's pretty profound, I think. Let's repeat it one more time. The human mind has gone mad, and you attain reality only when you pass beyond reason. Wow. Now, everyone, that's extremely interesting because the Bible actually talks about this too. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, who had been a missionary who had gone all over what was then the existing world, it wasn't that big then, obviously, in terms of the amount of people and cultures, but hey, the Greco-Roman world was a place where it was very cosmopolitan. Paul had been exposed to people from all kinds of cultures, all kinds of thinking, all kinds of philosophies, views. And after that, Paul, having shared the gospel with them and the challenges that he faced in doing, he speaks these words out in writing to one church. He said, listen, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. In other words, the nations that do not know God. Live no longer as they do, for, read this with me, they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. Wow. They wander far from the life of God and the life He gives because, read this with me, they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. Wow. You talk about a summary statement about the mentality of humanity apart from God. He'll say it to the Romans. Remember, Rome was the capital of the world in those days. Paul's writing to Christians at Rome in that place that was the seat of all, really, world government. Talking about, again, the nations who do not know God. At one time, he said, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And as a result, let's read again. Their minds became dark and confused. And since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, read this please, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking. Wow, that's getting kind of precarious. Minds that become dark and confused. Yeah. He'll say it this way to the Greeks in the city of Corinth. He says, people who do not have God's Spirit do not accept the things that come from His Spirit. They think these things are foolish. They cannot understand them because they can only be understood with the Spirit's help. Are you hearing this with me, everyone? Okay, so church, basically, all of these scriptures are saying that someone who is living in their natural, unconverted state, which is the state we're all just born in as fallen human beings, someone living in that state can't understand or accept the things of God. No. Why? Because they're too focused on their senses and corrupt perceptions and have no connection with God. Now, I'm just going to ask, and you can just answer, with your own thoughts in yourself, but for some of you, was that your initial pre-Christian experience too? A darkened, confused, spiritually irrational mind? Yeah, you see, the Bible calls it the carnal mind. Another way of saying it is just the mind of the flesh, or the fallen human mind and thinking that we're born with. And its origin goes all the way back to the first man, Adam, and his sin against God. Because of his disobedience, sin and guilt were passed down to all of his descendants. So we all inherited this natural state of sin from him and the mind that goes with it. The mind that is alienated and even is an enemy of God and understanding that goes with it. That's why we can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Giving a explanation of the challenge. So friends, in a way, we really can say that the human mind has truly gone mad, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. Yes, and that means you and I can only find true reality and understanding when we go beyond reason that we were born with and we connect with the Spirit of God. Now, that's actually a powerful concept to think about, isn't it? Yes, saints, tragically, the whole human race is messed up. because of Adam's sin. And now every single person on this planet has inherited that messed up sin nature and that messed up mind from him. And that's why we're all in this natural state of sin. You see, we look out sometimes and we go, how can people think that way? How could people rationalize that conduct? How could they have these crazy thoughts? Well, we ask that many times about other people. I suggest to you we should also sometimes ask that about ourselves. Well, I'm telling you why we do. That natural state of sin and that fallen mind. Now, here's what's interesting. There's a real irony here. You see, our minds have become naturally educated, and we in the Western world, wow, we have prized education. And hey, education is great. Naturally to be educated. We have become very, very naturally and greatly educated, but we have become spiritually irrational. That's why we can't understand or accept the things that come from God's Spirit. It's like we're just too smart for our own good. Are you with me? And hey, that's why the Bible doesn't try to argue a lot with our minds. No. Instead, it appeals to our hearts. It's all about believing in our hearts to be made right with God. You say, oh, maybe that's why a little child can get it. Are you with me? Maybe Jesus' statement that says you must become like a child to get into the kingdom of God and to understand it. Now it makes so much sense because, you see, a child leads with their heart. Are you with me? Yeah. You say, okay, well, that brings me some relief. Oh, yes, but here's the challenging thing. Even our hearts have gone mad too. No one less than the great Albert Einstein, German-born theoretical physicist, is on record as saying, the real problem is in the hearts and minds of men. It is not a problem of physics, but of ethics. It's easier to denature plutonium than to denounce the evil spirit of man. Wow. What do you think about that? We like to say he's a genius in the natural world. I think he got one right in the spiritual world based on Scripture. Yeah, Church Einstein was simply echoing what the Holy Scriptures have said for millennia. Yes, the Bible straight up and without any, how shall I say, doubt, says that our hearts are deceitful and wicked. Our hearts are deceitful and wicked. It's like we're all just full of evil and madness. Now listen, that's why God needs to get through to our hearts and break them. Sometimes that means we have to cry it out, even in tears. Because if not, we'll just keep on living in our madness because it's always there in our hearts. You can't get away with it. I mean, let me ask you, do you ever feel like you're just going through the motions when you read the Bible? Like the words are just passing by without any real impact on your heart? I mean, it's okay. Many of us have been there. But don't you long for something more? Something deeper and more meaningful. I'm saying something like what Pastor Wormbrand experienced when he read the Bible and it felt like flames of love were leaping off those pages and it brought him to tears. Well, you know, it's possible to have that kind of experience. And God wants you to have it. God wants you to feel his presence and love when you read his word. And I could say the same goes for prayer. I mean, don't you want to sense God's joy and peace filling your heart as you talk to him? Now, you know, it's okay if you haven't experienced that yet, but don't give up hope. No, keep seeking God and asking him to reveal himself to you in new and powerful ways. He wants you to have a real and meaningful relationship with him from your heart. Dare I ask, do you ever find yourself struggling to connect with the sermons here at church? Well, look, you know, it can be difficult to stay engaged and focused, but especially if you're possibly feeling guilty or unsettled by the message in some way. But I just want to ask, is it worth it for you to come week after week only to feel weighed down by your conscience? I mean, it's understandable to at times feel overwhelmed, but I urge you to consider the possibility that there is actually a better way. Yeah, dear one, perhaps what you need is a breakthrough moment. I'll call it a Moses moment. I'll call it a Richard Wurmbrand moment. I'm talking about a time when your heart is truly touched by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Imagine feeling those flames of love within you. Someone online, imagine feeling those flames of love within you, just as Pastor Wurmbrand did when he was converted to Christ. You see, it wasn't his mind that was changed by some logical argument. No, it was his heart that was broken by a deep sense of his sin. And it was his heart that then believed in Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for his sin. Yeah. Now look, I know it can be hard to open yourself up to this kind of humility and vulnerability. Because, you know, like the heart, I mean, think about your heart. Even our natural organ, the heart, is covered with a rib cage and a sternum. Why? To protect it. I mean, this is where the issues of life emerge. I mean, if our heart is not pumping, we no longer exist in this world. And that natural desire to protect and cover our heart, many times when the Lord says, hey, I want to get into your heart, your soul, your spirit, your inner man. I want to get inside you. We can have all this rib cage, a spiritual rib cage, and all this invulnerability to Christ when we need to be vulnerable, you see. But we've got to open up and be vulnerable to the Lord. And here's the thing, guys. We wonder sometimes, wow, why did God have to do such a dramatic appearance with Moses at a burning bush that blew his mind? It blew his circuits. Because for 40 years, Moses had been out in the desert. And the older he got, the more it was that ability to harden that protective rib cage around his spiritual heart. And the Lord had to do something dramatic to get right through it. Moses just got on the road with God at 80 years old. Think about that. Oh, please don't wait that long. But if you're 80 today and you're sitting in this room or watching me online today and you say, but Pastor, I think I am that Moses at 80 years old, then bless God, it's time for you to say, the Lord had my number today and he called me. So follow in Moses' footsteps, loved one. Yes. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Not at 80, don't miss it. Don't miss it at any age. Whether you're 5 years old like me or 85 years old like Moses, don't miss it. It can be hard, I know, to open yourself up to this kind of vulnerability. But dear one, it's eternally worth it. So I urge you to strive to enter into Christ, to let go of the madness that's been holding you back, and to allow yourself to be transformed by the power of God's love. We believe in Jesus deep in our hearts, and so we are made right with God. Church, my heart aches as I share with you the story of Pastor Wormbrand. And what a story it is, folks. You see, for 14 long years, he endured unspeakable physical torture in that communist prison for simply preaching the gospel of Christ as I am doing with you today. This touches me deeply. 14 years of torture, and there he is, there's his picture, his prison picture, and the place. Just for preaching the gospel. Red hot pokers were thrust into his back and his neck. He was beaten with rods across the bottom of his feet, so bad and for so long, it left him unable to stand while he was preaching. And yet, despite all this, Pastor Wormbrand witnessed the incredible faith of fellow Christians in those prisons. They were subjected to unimaginable cruelty with 50 pounds of chains on their feet, salt forced down their throats, and no water. And then no food. And yet, these same people prayed fervently for their communist captors. Now look, I submit to you, that is a love beyond human understanding. That's a love that can only come from Christ. And my dear friend, I pray that the Spirit of God and the Word of God will break your heart and will reveal to you the frightening and even dangerous nature of your unresolved sin. I pray that you will be able to see the eternal loss that awaits those who don't believe in Jesus as their Savior. Listen, please, I beg you, it is fallen human mental madness that is keeping you from Him. I'm giving you a divine diagnosis of your condition, and it's one that we've all had, whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 85 years old. Listen, the good news is this: the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross can wash you clean from all your sin, and it can transform this mind. Hallelujah. And I'm just saying, may the love of Christ be poured out into your heart. That's my prayer for you this new October morning, the first day of October. So I have to ask you now, in all sincerity, are you searching for Christ with your whole heart? I'm not saying just give that little mental assent riding on the fumes of faith of, you know, those in your ancestry. No, I'm saying, are you? Do you have out your spiritual binoculars? Are you searching for Christ with your whole heart? Is finding Him the main thing in your life? Listen, the promise in the Bible is great. If you search for Him with all your heart, you will find Him. And when you seek Him with all your heart, you will find the peace and the joy that, listen, only He can give you. My brother or sister in Adam, when I began this morning, I shared with you what it really means to believe in Jesus. And if you recall, I explained that the word believe in the Bible means more than simply agreeing in your mind that something must be true. No, it means trust. In other words, that you believe so strongly in Christ that you're willing to open your heart to Him. You're opening that spiritual ribcage. You're saying, I am opening my life to Christ. That you will commit your life to Him. And that you'll live the way you know He wants you to live. That He's at the door of your heart. Right now, this morning, someone online, right now where you are, this morning, knocking at the door of your heart. Maybe you can envision it this way to help you a little bit. Suppose you were walking along a path and you came to a footbridge which crossed a deep canyon. Now, you might look at it and believe that it would hold you. And you might even see other people walking across it. So you know that it would very likely hold your weight. But so far, Your belief in the bridge is only where? In your head. When do you really believe the bridge will hold you? You only really believe it when you are willing to entrust your life to it and you actually what? Start trying to walk across it. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. And dear one, it's the same way with Christ. Yes, you can believe that God exists. Most American people do. But God wants you to come to know him personally. And he's bridged the gap between you and him by sending his son to remove the barrier of sin. And Christ has become that bridge, that footbridge to the Father. And for you to believe in Christ then is to commit your life by faith to Christ and trust him personally as your Lord and Savior. And my prayer is that you will make your decision for Christ. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Because I don't believe anyone is here by accident. We like to think, well, I just made a choice. Let's believe in a sovereign God that is in the affairs of men. He's involved in your life. I want to help you step into your salvation in Christ by leading you in a prayer to be born anew of the Spirit. If you're ready to respond, to walk across that bridge to Jesus, I'm going to ask you just to join me in a prayer. It's a prayer to the Lord. This is not just some rote exercise. No, we're praying now. We're talking to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now, and I'm going to ask you to follow me in the prayer that I lead you in. And I'm going to ask that as you pray, you would pray it in a whisper prayer, just loud enough so you can hear it with your own words. It doesn't matter if other people are around you. There'll be others praying. You pray it, just whisper it loud enough so you can hear your own voice talking to God. And we're expecting a miracle of the Holy Spirit today. The Lord's going to do something to transform not only your spirit, man, your heart, but your mind. It's called being born anew of the Spirit. We call it more commonly getting saved, coming to faith. Here's how I'm going to invite you now to pray with me. Please follow with me. If this is from your heart, just whisper now with me, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for me to take away my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And living life my own way, I ask you to forgive me now and take away all my sins. Deliver me from Satan and his lies. Renew my mind. Wash me and make me clean. Save me, Lord Jesus. Give me your new life. Come into my heart. Make me yours. I give you my life, and I now enter your life. Thank you for saving me. I choose you to be my Lord, to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Help me to live every day for you. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. I have a word to say to you, but I would like to just encourage you to hear the lyrics of this song in the wake of your prayer.
There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
Dear one, I pray that's your salvation song today. I pray that's your salvation song today, and very much as real as when I knelt by my bed those 60 years ago, that you will remember this day. May the Lord imprint it on your mind when you are born anew of the Spirit of God. If you prayed from your heart, the Lord performed the creative miracle. You belong to him now. Jesus is your Lord. Savior. Praise God for that. Okay, so now what? Well, let me give you a couple of things that I just need to leave you with. First, see this little book, Why Jesus, right here, this red one. This little book gives an additional foundational basis for your decision today. Very important. Please take this. It'll be on the table out there in the lobby when you leave. So many have taken this over the last year, folks. Please take this, read it promptly. And there's another prayer in here you can also pray. But start getting acquainted with what it means to really walk with Jesus. And somebody maybe is rededicating their life to Christ. I sense that always when I share because, you know, many times we started out, it was all up here though. It was like Moses in the early days. Now it's gotten to here. Praise God for that. Okay, so take this, read it. And then I also encourage you to read your Bible if you haven't been. And the Gospel of John is a great place to start. You say, where would I start? Gospel of John's really good. New Testament. And we actually have a Bible here if you need one. So let me know or let us know. We'll get you one. Happy to give you one. Start reading that. Baptism is the public profession of what you did here today or someone watching online. There's a time to publicly say, I belong to Jesus. And we're going to have a baptismal service at some point here in the near future. And at that time, you will be able to sign up and be baptized. It's a beautiful experience with God. It's a sealing experience. I liken it to the wedding day when you actually publicly go to the altar and say, I'm married to Jesus. I've given my life to him. So there'll be that opportunity. Church attendance is so vital. Come every opportunity that you can. And I know there's always a competing interest, isn't there? But remember that there's so many things that would try to keep us from being here, but those things will actually be saboteurs in many ways to our growth. We need the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to be taught. Discipled is what the Bible calls it. And so I encourage you with this. Make church attendance a priority. Well, those are the things that are important follow-ups as you start to walk out the Christian life. And of course, if there's any questions anyone ever has, be happy to try to answer those for you. That being said, do as soon as possible, tell someone that's close to you, that you know and love, and someone that you believe would celebrate with you, even if that happens to be like your pet. Tell them you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father in heaven. And so you need to do that because the Bible says with the mouth we confess our salvation. We tell others about it. Please stand with me now. Remember, the sign up for the barbecue next week is out there on the table. I think there was a few other things that were out there that you mentioned that you need to take a look at. Remind yourself of those. We want to remind you that prayer is available up here for any and every need. We can't cover it all in the time we have, you know. Sometimes there's a post, you don't want to call it a post game, but there's a post service time. God's still moving. So come for prayer, whatever that need is. That being said, I hope that you have a wonderful week in the Lord. I look forward to seeing you next week for the church fellowship time. It's like our picnic almost this year. And we'll have a wonderful time together. In the meanwhile, now may you go from this place strengthened and blessed by the eternal presence of God, which you have felt here. Go out and be glad and loving to all that you meet. Why? Because you've been with the Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for coming, online family. Thanks for watching. Hey, say hi to someone that you maybe don't know just as you're walking out. And there's also in the Tahoe rooms some coffee back there. If you want to fellowship and have a nice warm cup of coffee on this kind of cloudy, you know, misty day. Tahoe Room Coffee and Fellowship. Head back. God bless you, everyone. We'll see you next time.